Grace to all of you and peace from God, our Father, our Lord, and our Savior, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, who is active here in our midst this morning. Amen. When I was in seminary, I had a class called Systematic Theology, and it was taught by a professor named Stephen Paulson. This class helped us to think about God in a clear, concise, and organized way, and it was one of my favorite classes. And it was taught by my favorite professor. But it was also the class that brought up some of the most difficult theological dilemmas that we face as Christians. And one of them, the one I'm going to be talking about today, is called, it's the problem of election. Now, you might think I'm talking about politics, but I am not. The problem of election has nothing to do with the duopoly or with ballots or with the mainstream media or anything like that. The problem of election is actually a lot bigger of a deal, I think, than those issues. Those things are small potatoes compared to what we're dealing with here. What is the problem of election? Well, each one of the scriptures today talks about this, actually. I'm going to read a little bit of them, and I want to see if you can find maybe a common thread, something that they all kind of have in common. First, from Isaiah 6, it says, "The Lord said, go and tell this people, be ever hearing, but never understanding, be ever seeing, but never perceiving. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn and be healed." Okay, our second example comes from the 11th chapter of Romans. "God has bound everyone over to disobedience, so that he may have mercy on them all." And one final example from the Gospel of John. Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit." I know it's probably difficult to find a common theme on these three things, but in a nutshell, here's the answer. The problem of election is that God does all of the choosing. God chooses. Now, in and of itself, God choosing wouldn't be a problem. But the issue is that we often don't understand why he's making the choices he's making. We don't agree with the choices he's making, and we refuse to accept the choices that he's making. The problem is election is that God is the only one that gets a vote over the biggest issues in our life. We just have to accept it. And his choices they often don't make sense to us at all. In fact, they seem like just the opposite of what we would think should be happening. We're left with questions like, why? How long? Or how is this fair? For example, in our reading from Isaiah, God elects to have Isaiah, the prophet, preach to people so that they'll hear him, but they won't understand him. They'll see, but they won't understand what they're seeing, because, he says, if they did see, if they did understand what was going on, they might turn back to God and be healed. I mean, Isaiah is supposed to preach God's word to people in order to make sure those people don't respond to God. That's literally what it says. What? Why? The goal is to not have them repent, but to make them even more unrepentant. Honestly, that's what it says. How does that make sense? I don't know. And God elected to do that. And this seems like a problem. But at least that scripture, it's historical. It's talking about those guys. The next reading from Romans is universally applied. God has bound everyone, which would include you and me, everyone, God has bound everyone to disobedience so that he might have mercy on them all. God chooses, God elects to bind us in our disobedience. Now, some synonyms of the word bind are the following: to chain, tie up, imprison, handcuffed, restrict, shackle, restrain. So for some reason, God chooses to imprison and tie us up in our disobedience to him. How is that right? I mean, how is that fair? Why would he do that? I don't know. And again, that's the problem of election. Or what about these verses from the Gospel of John? Now, this is the next event, the big event in Jesus' life from chapter 3 of John. And he's talking to this big religious leader named Nicodemus. And Nicodemus seems interested in how to follow Jesus' teaching. He wants to know more. And so Jesus responds by saying, "No one can see the kingdom of God unless they're born again." Nicodemus responds in a very obvious way, I think. He says, How can someone be born when they're old? How can a person enter a second time into their mother's womb? They can't. That's the problem. They can't. You can't. This means that we can't see the kingdom of God through our own efforts. That we can't, on our own, enter the kingdom of God. God has to choose. He must elect you to be his. And since this choice is out of our control, that feels like a big problem. Because how can God expect you to obey him when you are literally restrained in your disobedience? And how can God punish people for not listening to him when he sends a prophet to them with the express purpose of making it so that they cannot understand him? It's like demanding that you have to go out and vote for the person that you like with just one catch. The choice has already been made for you. It's not up to you. And that makes us angry. And then, when it becomes about these really big issues, it kind of gets us a little scared. Martin Luther wrote a book. It's called The Bondage of the Will. He explains the problem of election in the opening of the explanation to the third article on the Holy Spirit. "I believe, by my own reason or strength, I cannot believe in Jesus Christ or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me through the gospel." See, the problem of election is only a problem if you look at it from one perspective. When we lose belief in the power we have to control our own destinies. However, when you trust God with your future, when you trust God with your destiny, then election is no problem at all. It's actually really, really good news. The book of Romans says that God has bound everyone in disobedience so that he may have mercy on them all. Mercy, that's a good word. That's a good thing. I mean, it's not our choice, but God chooses to forgive us. That's pretty amazing. And when Jesus is talking to Nicodemus in the Gospel of John, and Jesus tells him that he has to be born again, that sounds like pretty bad news for Nicodemus. However, then Jesus says, "God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son so that all who believe in him won't perish but will have eternal life." So while, sure, it's impossible for us to make ourselves be born again, God says he's made that choice for us. He sent his Son to die for you. All you have to do is trust in that decision. He chooses you, he loves you, he elects you. So when you want the power, when you want the control, election is a real problem. Because you're always going to be fighting against God. It will make you angry, it will make you upset. However, when you trust in God's power and in God's control, well, election is the best news there is. So how does this even change us? How does this affect us? I'm not just here to tell you this obscure theological idea. It should matter. It should change us. First, I think it can change how you relate to other people. Because it's really frustrating when someone hurts you, when someone betrays your trust. You believe that they should have done better and that they should have known better. And you're right. However, what if they're just like you, bound in disobedience, addicted to their own selfishness, sinners in need of a savior? What if they need God's mercy and his forgiveness as much as you do? Ephesians 6 says that our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's not with people, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of the heavenly realms. So when someone is unkind to you, instead of trying to take revenge on them or even trying to force them to change their ways, which, let's be honest, like never works, perhaps you should focus your time and attention on praying against the devil who is working in their life. Giving up control of the situation to God and asking him to work on their hearts, to have mercy on them, to forgive them, to help them to be born again, and then to have mercy on you, to help you to be born again as well, since none of us are perfect. And perhaps understanding the problem of election can change how you think of yourself as well. Show yourself a little more grace when you mess up. Stop trying to control everything. Instead, relinquish control of your life to God. Surrendering to God actually doesn't change the situation, by the way, because God was in control already. But it can help you to stop worrying and start trusting him to lead you where he wants you to go. Election means that God chooses. And that will always be a problem unless you're willing to accept his choice, no matter what. And when you begin trusting him with your life, election can be the best news ever for you, because he has chosen you to work. He has chosen to work with you in this life to help others to know his love and his grace. And he has chosen to forgive you unconditionally. And God has chosen you to live with him for all eternity in heaven. Amen.